Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new edition of the Zelda Universe Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Connor, and I am your host for this lovely podcast. Joining me today, we have one of our newer presenters and someone who's here for our movie roundtable discussion, Caden. Lovely to have you here.
It is always a pleasure to be here, even though it's my second time doing it, but, you know.
Now it's the official format.
Yeah.
Fancy. Now, the reason why I wanted to make sure that I had you on here is something that came up during our movie discussion. Our theme today is the realm of Zelda music, and you had revealed to us during our roundtable that not only are you a music teacher, you had a specific interest in sharing with your students video game music.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fascinated in hearing how you were trying to implement that. I haven't taken music lessons since choir in high school, and there's not a whole lot of music, like, theory or anything attached to that.
Yeah, and with what I do, I'm primarily a band guy. I'm a band director as well as a general music teacher for my school. And with the video game music connections that I usually make are usually with my general music class, because there's not a whole lot of prescribed music associations with video game music that you would have for a band concert, right? All that stuff usually like classically composed, traditionally composed stuff. But for the general classes, the incorporation of the video music is mostly just subtle kind of things. I'd just be like, hey, if we're talking about weird time signatures, like, I don't know, a 12-8 or 11-8, I'll whip out, like, the Bug Fables Wasp theme, because that thing is like... It's crazy. And video game music is way more complex than I think people give it credit for, especially the younger minds. So you can get a lot of good learning out of it. And so one of our projects that I had them do for the final, for like the end of the year thing, was we're going to create a classroom soundtrack. So I give you guys a list of different, you know, themes, beach, snowy, city, field, and you're going to compose something, anything that kind of sort of fits with those common traits. And then by the end of it, every single student's going to have a song, and we're going to have a full soundtrack. Just to give them like an idea of like, okay, this is what composition for a thing, like either a movie or a video game even, looks like. So that was one of my prouder moments of education in video games.
That is fascinating. I love that. I'm so glad. So I took piano lessons from age 8 to like 13, and I still mess with the piano on occasionally. I can read sheet music is what I'm trying to say, which
there we go.
Was amazing for me, because I get to like high school choir and whatnot, and nobody knows how to read music. And it was so weird to me. It's like, wait, but this is music. We're singing, which is music. Why aren't you? Anywho, just when you talk about time signatures, and time signatures, for those who don't know, is how you register the speed and the rhythm of a piece, and also determines how you're supposed to look at the different notes and how they're spaced out on the sheet of music.
Right.
The concept of classical music, and we're always thinking of Mozart and Beethoven and all of those things. And I remember thinking, this must have been like 8 or so years ago, when I asked myself the question of, where are the classical composers now? And as I was thinking about that, I realized that you see it in movies, and more you're seeing it in video games. Some of the most amazing pieces of music you will ever find aren't found in popular artists or bands. You're going to find them in Bayonetta. You're going to find them in Final Fantasy. You're going to find them in Zelda.
Yep.
The level of complexity that becomes involved in creating not just a piece of music, but a piece of music that can repeat over and over again and can fit into 90 seconds and yet still leaves an emotional impact on the person partaking in it.
The best thing background music or like setting music, set piece music for a video game can do is to not get repetitive and makes the player think, oh, I'm tired of hearing this music. If you can avoid that, then you are golden. And I think one of the things that helps Zelda do that is having appealing motifs. And I mentioned this in the roundtable discussion. I think I did, at least. I'm very much a motivic listener when it comes to game music. Probably because I grew up with Nintendo, and Nintendo's all about its musical motifs. A motif is a repeated, like, sort of theme. Specifically a leitmotif is a theme that's associated with either a character, a place, or a thing, or an emotion, or something like that. And I think just with the context clues, we can assume that, okay, almost everything in Zelda's expansive soundtracks is a motif. Like, we have Zelda's Lullaby, which is the Zelda motif, like Zelda, Princess Zelda herself. We have the main Zelda theme, jump, bum, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da. That's the Zelda motif. We have the Great Deku Tree motif. Ja-dee-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-da-da-ba-dee-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. Which is Kokiri Forest, Wind Waker, Deku Tree, all that kind of stuff. It's throughout the series. Like, all these things that repeat throughout the series. So I take that motivic writing and I'm like, oh, it's all these things that just, it expands the entirety of the game verse. And it's very much, it appeals to me in what I like listening to. And it makes it not boring, which is the best part.
The fun thing about these motifs is the way that they are messed with in order to put spins on themes. These are some of the notes, the things that people will point out in, did you see this in this trailer or this piece? Things you miss. And they tend to go to music. So, for example, Midna's Lament is the inverse of Zelda's Lullaby. It's either Lullaby or The Lost Woods.
That's Ballad of the Goddess.
No, Ballad of the Goddess is backwards.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, Ballad of the Goddess is backwards. And then Midna's is dun dun dun.
Huh.
It's the inverse.
You might be onto something there.
Of the two of that. And so from a fan perspective, you're thinking, oh, that's cool that they did this thing, that it sounds like that. But when you look at it in terms of motifs or themes, the theme of Zelda, which is light, is being interwoven and inversed and paralleled with Midna, which represents shadow, which is exactly what Zelda says at the very ending of the game, where light and shadow are two sides of the same coin.
Right. And it's also just shown just throughout the texture of the music itself. Like, Zelda's Lullaby is very light, very, very pleasant and soothing. It's a lullaby, obviously. Whereas Midna's motif, da-dee-da, ba-dee-da, it's very off-kilter and kind of dissonant in a way. Possibly because the instrument is an oboe, and oboes have a very distinct sound. But yeah, just instrumentation and chord structure and all that kind of stuff also feeds into it. So even though it's the inverse, like thematically it's the inverse, musically and in the actual musical writing, it's also just sort of the darker version, which is really cool. So we could talk about major and minor, but that's a whole other
thing. I was about to say, you play in the fact that because of that inverse, Midna's Lament is played in a minor chord, which is by its very nature supposed to sound a little off.
Yeah.
Which is what the twilight is supposed to feel like to those of us who have dwelt all of our days in the light. And yet there is a beauty to it when you get used to it and you begin to appreciate what is involved there.
Something that I have to like sort of wrap my head around is major isn't always happy and minor isn't always gloom, doom, and destruction, sad. They have their qualities, but both are two sides of the same coin, right? So it's like a balance. Like, it's not necessarily good versus evil. It's just yin and yang, harmony, and all that stuff.
Hi, this is Jason, and I'm with Zara, and we're gonna be talking about our favorite Zelda songs and themes.
Yay! Okay, so enthusiastic.
I guess we can start with just basically like what was our first, you know, Zelda song we ever heard.
Oh my gosh!
You can go first, actually.
I can go first. Oh, that's a hard one. You're giving me like the hardest question right off the bat, right? First Zelda song I ever heard. Well, the first Zelda game I ever played was Ocarina of Time. So nice. I would say, and I don't remember this, but I'm going to say it because it makes the most sense. Like, I would say the first Zelda song I would have heard was the title theme from that song. But it doesn't really stand out that much. Like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I remember the Kokiri Forest theme probably more than that one. But
the most one? Okay.
Both of them I love.
Kokiri Forest was actually really good. It's funny that you say that, because you know, mine would be, since I'm, you know, much older, would be the actual intro to Legend of Zelda, the very first one for NES.
Neat.
Because, you know, that was the first Zelda I ever played. But it's funny that you say that, because the intro theme for Ocarina of Time is a remix version of the recorder theme that you got from, like, that you got, like,
yeah,
you've that you got
mentioned
in,
that before.
Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. And it's funny because I obviously played that one later, like, much later. Well, actually, that's a lie, because I had the collector's edition on the GameCube. Are you familiar? So that game obviously came with that, came with four titles, and Legend of Zelda, where Zelda 1 was one of them. So, but I only played that after, and I only just, like, I wasn't very good at it, I'll admit. I would have heard the original, I guess, long after I had heard it in Ocarina of Time. But pretty it's iconic either way, I would
agree. It's funny because, like, when I first got Ocarina of Time and I was, like, trying to listen to the title theme, at first, I was like, what is that? And then...
Oh, you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I was like, it's familiar, because it wasn't the classic, you know, dun, 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 dun. And then I think I was playing something one day and I went back and I was like, let me pop in the old one. And then when I played the flute sound, I knew exactly what it was. And I said, oh, that's where they got this from. And then, ever since then, I just was, like, good. But, like, you know, that's one... Yeah. Like, that's one thing I love about Zelda music. Like, there's always something on the tip of your tongue or, like, in the back of your mind. You're like, I know this is a Zelda song. I'm not exactly sure where. Yeah. And then...
Yeah. So, I had that moment, too, pretty recently. You've played Tears of the Kingdom, obviously.
Yes, I've heard of such things.
And oh man, that's kind of a dumb question, sorry. But
no, I love it.
So you know when Link is cooking in Tears of the Kingdom, he'll do like a little
he'll do the song.
Humming. He'll do a little song. And I recognize pretty much all of them, but I think there might be one or two. There's at least one that I'm not sure exactly what it is, and it's driving me crazy, so I need to go find it and figure out what it is. But I had that moment, too, where it's like, oh, he's humming something that sounds kind of familiar, but I can't identify it, and it's really frustrating.
I
really love that. It was a nice little thing that they added, hey?
Yeah, exactly. Like, me, myself, I'm wondering how many different songs he hums, because... the ones I've heard that I just knew off the top of the head is the original hum he has. I think he does Ballad of the Windfish. He does Saria's Song. He does his theme song.
Yeah, Saria's Song.
And there's a couple others that, like, on the top of my head, like his running theme song, like the Overworld song from the first Zelda.
Okay.
He does that.
You're right. Exactly. Yep.
You know, he does. I think he does a Ponus song too, but it's just like many little songs.
You really know your music for sure.
I mean, I've played them all, and I have to retain something. I've played them
all.
That's
better than me.
But, but the funny part is, like, some of them are so iconic. Like, even if you haven't played a Zelda, you've probably heard it before, or if you have played one, you know it in a different version. You know what I mean? So, like, I did a piece. For one of the columns articles, when I was talking about, you know, that we had to do,
Medley's Melodies?
Medley's Melodies, yes. And I did the song cover for Dark Link. The Darklink battle from A Link Between Worlds or whatever. Yeah, and that theme is from Zelda 2, and it's the palace theme, and some people didn't even know that. Nice. I didn't even know it. So
I don't think. Well, I never got that far in that game, so.
Oh.
I certainly would know. Zelda 2 is really hard.
So what's your favorite?
It's got
like
a really great soundtrack though.
Yeah, it does. It really does. What's your favorite Zelda theme, or a song? I should say.
Like a recurring theme, or like
yeah,
a title
like from
theme?
One of the yeah, like one of, maybe like one of the title
oh,
themes.
I know what it is. I don't have to think hard about this at all. It's the one from Wind Waker. I call it the Outset nice. Island theme. You could also yeah. call it Errol's theme. It goes by many That's names, good. But you yep. know what I'm talking about because that exactly. song comes up so many times in so many different variations and renditions in that game, mm-hmm. And I love every single one. But I think that yeah, the Outset Island version is my favorite because that song is made up of different layers. Like it's not one yeah. melody yeah. in that song, which is kind of like makes it a pain if you're trying to play it like as a musician. It's like kind of made up of different sections and parts. You can't really play it as one melody. Uh-huh. Errol's thing you can. Uh-huh. I learned that one on violin and I just didn't
wow,
like
that's
it
awesome.
When I was just playing it by myself because it just didn't really sound that good when it was taken out of the like complete you know, orchestral yeah. version. Okay. But it comes up, like, I think it's in the title theme. It's certainly in the credits.
Yeah.
It's every time you see Errol, it plays. So it's a really nice thread. I just really yeah. love it. I don't know. It's just like, it just makes me feel so cozy and
like it's like
it's
warm,
a comforting
fuzzy
thing,
feeling, right?
Yeah, it is yeah. like that warm, fuzzy thing. Because Wind Waker was like my game. Like that was
I love Wind
favorite
Waker.
Childhood
yeah.
game. Wind Waker is just like man, it hits me right in the feels. So
yeah, the music in that
yeah,
game is
that's the
is
one I would say.
So iconic. I love that sailing theme music.
Yeah,
and even though it's like a remix ocean. Of his theme, it still just sounds. I don't know. Every time I would get on the open season sale, I would just enjoy
you
listening
had a great
to team. That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
So
that would be my favorite. Yeah.
You mentioned that you played, you learned how to play it on the violin. You're a musician. When was the first time you got into playing music or instruments, I should say?
So I started on violin. So I did classical violin for
nice.
8 years.
I love the violin. I don't know how to play it, but I love it.
It's a really great instrument. I'm biased, of course, when I say that. classical violin is a very different beast because it's so technical and it's so, mm-hmm. like, when you're learning it as a kid, it's like I would watch other people because I did group classes too. I did the Suzuki method, which is like step, interestingly enough, founded by a Japanese.
I think I've heard of it, but I don't
play,
yeah,
so Shinji, I don't know. Shinji yeah. Suzuki, if you want to know the background okay. of it. But Suzuki Talent Education Program, STEP, STEP, as people call it, STEP, the STEP program.
Okay.
You know, I'm in yeah. the STEP program. I'm very fancy. So it was a whole thing when I was a kid, right? And so you do it. So the whole pedagogy of it, and I won't really go into it because I could do a whole podcast on it,
yeah.
And I won't bore you, but it's essentially his pedagogy was that, like, children learn by listening and doing, and then music theory kind of comes as the third most important. Like, it's not the most important thing. So yes, you do learn how to read music,
mm-hmm.
but you learn how to listen and pick things up by ear, and you learn how to play as a group. And so okay. like when I was a kid, like watching other people, so you start in like level 1, 2, 3, and you go all up to like I think 10 or so,
okay.
however many
okay.
books there are. And I would watch mm-hmm. other kids play these really complicated pieces, and I was like, I want to play that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, like the Zietz Concerto or whatever, the ones that I'm working on in book 4. And they're really technical and they're really hard. It's just a lot of time and patience and practice. Obviously, you start younger, it's easier, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started with violin, and it was obviously really rewarding because it just, like, gave me that foundation of being able to figure things out. I'm not a trained pianist. I do play piano, but, like, I don't really have any formal training on piano. It's just that
wow,
I have the foundation
really?
For it so I can read things.
You're
yeah,
really good.
It's actually, it's way easier. No, it's the way, no, like, listen to me. Once you've learned to play violin, you can do anything. It's kind
yeah.
of.
Okay.
Like, you well, start with that... the hardest thing, everything's easy.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that
yeah.
leads me to the next thing. You have a beautiful album on Spotify. It's called Musical Ruins of Hyrule, the Piano Selections. and you have, you know, several things from different Zelda games on here. My personal favorites are the dungeon theme, the Astral Observatory, and the Farron Woods, even though I love Sacred Grove too. But those three, like, I was listening to them, and I'm like, yo, you're talented. Because even, like, doing the dungeon theme, like, I can't imagine, like, I don't know. It just seems like it's hard to me to play that. Like, the hand-eye coordination you got to have. So, like, if you just want to talk about that a little bit, I'm interested.
Ooh. Dungeon theme. Yeah.
Or just, like, what was the inspiration for the whole, the album? I guess you could go, you know, with that. Because all the songs are really good.
It's not a really exciting answer. You're probably going to just be disappointed by the answer. Because I didn't really put a whole lot of planning into this.
Okay.
I kind of came together at, like, kind of haphazardly with no real direction. I didn't really have a concrete plan. I didn't set out to record an album, actually. It kind of
just, like, fell into it.
Like, I think what happened was I started in the fall sometime, and I recorded, I played Farron Woods, so I learned that piece. And then I just decided one day I wanted to try to record it. And so the way that I did that is I don't really use like an audio interface, which is essentially just like something you hook up to your computer, which records audio. I use something called MIDI, which you've probably heard of.
Okay, yeah, I think I
so
have.
So MIDI
yeah.
is the language that the computer speaks to play back music. It's like, it's computer language, essentially. I don't really know much about it and the, like, the intricacies of it, but it captures the music. Like the notes. So you can maneuver them, you can move them around, you can do whatever you want with it. It's more, you can do more with it than audio, because audio you can just, like, change the way it sounds. With MIDI you can just take the notes and do anything with them. You could play, so I could play the notes on a keyboard, on a piano, and I can make it, I could use a plug-in, I could plug in a different instrument and make it a guitar or a percussion or
so you're, like, able, like, to mix it.
I could do anything with it. You can do anything with it. So I just recorded it on MIDI, and so what you hear is me playing. And so I plugged in just, like, a grand piano instrument into my program. I used Ableton for that. So it's, it is me playing. It's me playing real time, and the pedal and everything, all that stuff is real. So, yeah, so I started with that one. And then after I had Farron Woods recorded, and I was pretty happy with it, I just kept going with it. I think I don't even really remember, because it was so long ago. Like, I think I did Astral Observatory second.
Astral Observatory
Sacred
is really
last.
Good. And,
so,
and the funny part is,
just,
like,
was like, what else do I want to record? Let's do it.
The funny part is, it's like, when I think about it, when I listen to it, I was like, wow, it really flows well on piano. But I would have never, like, thought of, like, out of all the songs in Zelda, like, oh, let me do Astral Observatory. But when I heard it, I was like, wow, this really does sound really well. You know what I mean? And it's just funny,
it's
like that.
Not, it's really neat, hey?
Yeah.
And I kind of found that too. And that's kind of the reason why, like I said earlier, like, I didn't have a plan for it, because you never really know what something's going to sound like once it's been executed on
exactly.
piano, for example. Like, you might envision it, and then when you go to play it, it's like, oh, actually, this sounds like crap. Like, I'm kind of dealing with the same thing right now, because I'm working on another little project right now, some new music, and I'm actually in the studio for it. Like, I'm not working at my piano, like, in my room.
Oh, nice.
In my living room, and trying to do, like, I have a friend who's, like, he has a studio. He's a producer. He went to school for music production, and I was like, please help me.
Like,
so,
yeah, can I use
And we're
your
trying
studio?
Different stuff out. So, and we're doing three songs, and the first two, it's like, we got sorted, and then the third one, we went to record it with guitar, and we put electric guitar on it. And then I, when I listened to it, and I was like, I don't like this. And I need to change the whole thing. So I threw out the whole idea. I was like, you know what?
Oh,
I'm just gonna
do
it. So it's changed a lot. But no. But that's the thing. Like, the process is, it wasn't a waste of time for us to, like, spend 3 hours doing that track, because I had to hear it to know that it's not what I wanted, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. Listen, you're talking to a
and
guy.
That's your process.
You're talking to a guy that, you know, I haven't really learned how to play too many instruments. I learned a little piano, but I'm nothing on your level. If anything, I probably was always supposed to be a drummer. I used to drum on my desk as a kid for forever. But one thing that I used to do is, you know, and I guess it's like a quote unquote hip hop thing, whatever. I used to beatbox, like, video game soundtracks.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so like me and my friend, cute. Like that's like if you notice I was doing dun, 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 like we would do stuff like that. So we'd take songs from like Zelda, Mario, Mega Man was the biggest, me and my friend. Wow. We'd be in class just, you know,
you beatbox it.
Yeah, so like, and so yeah,
can
and
you do
like,
a little bit of that for me?
Well, listen, I haven't had
can
a lot
you,
of
like,
practice. That's
drop
probably
a beat?
The That's probably the most you can get right now, but maybe one day
All
I'll
right,
return
well,
to it. But like we used to
we
do
might
that.
Be waiting to hear that from you, man.
Oh my god! Listen, there's a lot better at it than I am. Like a lot better beatboxes that are out there.
Yeah.
But it's still like a neat way of like doing music. You know what I mean? Even if you don't
somewhere.
Have an instrument.
Yeah
exactly.
Yeah, like your body can be an instrument. Like your voice is an instrument. That's the thing. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Have you ever
Oh,
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, that's fine.
I was gonna say, have you ever been to any of the Zelda Orchestra events, or have you? I know we've all probably listened.
Have
to
I attended
them.
Any of them?
Yeah, like I've always
I
wanted
haven't
to attend
seen any
some
of them
in
live. I know.
Yeah,
that's I live in the middle of nowhere, so they would never come to my city. I think years ago, and I don't know how many years ago this would have been. Many years ago this would have been, but I kind of looked into traveling for a show, but it didn't work out at the time.
Okay.
I also probably didn't have the money, but and it wasn't worth it for logistic reasons, but yeah I'd like to. I've listened to like this like I like the Sky
the symphonies
Resort.
Are really good. Yeah, I still have my
like I have the CD and everything.
Yeah,
so.
Yep, same. I still have the yep, so I have the orchestra CD, and then that concert they just did recently was really good too. I don't know, I love Zelda music, but Tears of the Kingdom, like they did a really good job with that, and yeah, holy
Tears
heck.
Of the Kingdom. I've honestly, it's still, and I'm, you're probably gonna be surprised when I say this, but I haven't actually finished the game yet.
That's fine. Listen, that game is there for you when you're ready. Okay, it's not going anywhere.
Oh,
enjoy it
I'm
at
aware.
Your own pace.
And I have so much guilt. I have game guilt, but it's like, and I feel weird about Tears of the Kingdom because it's a great game and I have enjoyed it, and. I wasn't even really as excited as I thought I would be. And I think it's because I got it out of my system after Breath of the Wild. Because Breath of the Wild was, like, so good.
Yeah.
That it felt like nothing could top it.
I know.
Still kind of feeling that way.
Okay.
And I'm kind of... And I'll be honest with you. I felt a little bit underwhelmed by Tears of the Kingdom's soundtrack.
Really?
So
why does everybody keep
far.
Saying this? I enjoyed it.
It's true.
You know what it is, too? No. I think it's because we got so much with Breath of the Wild. We expected, you know... 10 times more with Tears of the Kingdom.
Did we though? Like Breath of the Wild's soundtrack was still fairly minimal.
Well, because they were going for that immersion feel of like you're in the wild.
Exactly.
The Breath of the Wild is your music. You know,
it's
whereas
just
like
the wind blowing and you're out in the exactly.
Like even in this game,
and Tears
we had,
of the Kingdom again, same thing.
Yeah,
same
we had
thing,
more
vibe.
Overworld music in this game than Breath of the Wild by far, which was amazing to me. So you know, I know they're trying to like I
we
guess
did?
Course
I don't
correct.
Know. I haven't picked up on a lot.
Yeah, there's a little, like, if you pay attention, there's, like, actually kind of music during the day versus, like, in Breath of the Wild, it would just be depending on where you're at, it would
like
just be, like, the wind
keys.
Blowing. Yeah, exactly. So
occasionally you'd hear a piano, like.
Yeah, you'd hear, like, that one little key. Listen, I understand why everybody's gripe was, but when that piano key started playing for the Guardians, that got your blood pumping. That's like
exactly.
One of my favorite.
Oh, I love
one of my
Guardian
theme. Favorite
I actually said this.
Themes and songs.
That's right. I've said this to a lot
like
of people.
Guardian
I was like, I
music.
Actually miss the Guardians. You know?
Yeah.
Gloomhand's not doing it for me. But the Guardians were
really?
A very special thing.
Well, that's because
yeah,
you sound like you've still been on the surface. You got to go down below for the scary stuff. I won't ruin it after that.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't been down to the depths. I have, like, explored a little bit, but, like, oh, my God, I've barely scratched the surface, so to speak, of that one. Yeah, no, I'm very underpowered. Like, I have very few hearts and not a whole lot of equipment, and so I'm not doing well. So, but, yeah, that's
well,
interesting. Yeah, I do, I find that it hasn't overwhelmed me, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Finish the game.
I'm completely in love with it, so I just need a new Switch system to kind of run it at a higher frame rate and maybe some DLC, and I'll be good. But we're pretty much at the end of this. Is there anything you'd like to say to wrap this up, or anything Zelda song wise
really.
You want to talk about?
I think
where can the people
covered it.
Can you let the people know where we can go? Yeah, to find your music. I know I've got mine on Spotify, but where can else can they download?
So for this one, I couldn't do a worldwide release to everywhere because the limitations of copyrighted music is that you kind of have to. It's very expensive to release to like iMusic and everything, so I just kind of kept it within Spotify, Deezer, Pandora, iHeartRadio, a bunch of other places that nobody uses, but mostly just the main ones. Yeah. But it's just Zara Matthews on Spotify, and if you Google that, you could find me probably wherever it is. Or the album is Musical Ruins of Hyrule. You know, I forget the name of my own album, but that's essentially it. But yeah, I'm on Instagram. And I keep updates on there about everything that I'm working on. So, yeah, just give me a follow if you're interested.
Yeah,
appreciate
definitely. Definitely give her a check out, you guys. It's Musical Ruins of Hyrule Piano Selections.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you guys on another time. Everyone, take care. This is Jason saying goodbye. And
bye.
See you later.
Zara, bye.
Bye-bye.
The introduction to a game is going to be the thing that brings you in, and not before you even get to the gameplay itself. That title screen music is going to set the tone for everything that is going to follow. You don't enter a horror game and start out with super happy fun time music. You'll have maybe the mockery of super happy fun time music, but you know that something is wrong with that music when you're listening to it. The Legend of Zelda, from the very first game, introduced you through its very music from something that sounded both somber, serious, and yet epic and exciting. I'm old enough to have started with the original, and that theme has carried me since age 5.
Unfortunately, I am not old enough to have experienced that. I was born in 99, so the year between Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. The first game I ever played that I have memory of ever picking up a controller for was The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. So that title screen music, with its Celtic inspiration, very much Celtic influenced soundtrack, that title theme is very, very impactful for me personally. And yeah, it's just the sweeping camera work of Outset Island and then Link on the mountain with that music picking up with two specific motifs that we end up hearing later on in the game with the sages. That's all just very ingrained in my brain chemistry. That's the Wind Waker title theme is personally my favorite out of all of them.
I'm surprised that the inspiration for Wind Waker's theme is Celtic, because I don't usually think of Celtic when I'm thinking of the ocean. Usually you're thinking like Vikings or pirates, and that music is a lot more swashbuckly, which we do get with Tetra and her crew, but even then it's fairly minimal.
And I was looking into this quite a bit, especially with in certain parts of the Great Sea, like with the Forest Haven, for example, there's a lot of instrumentation that is very much tied to, in real life, Iceland and other Gaelic regions of the world. That sort of, I want to say, tripletized Irish jig kind of thing. We have tin flute, tin whistles, some other old-timey strings. I'm blanking on the names. There's a lot, the instrumentation primarily is what gives it that feel, as well as the song form. It's just that tripletized, like bouncy, jaunty kind of feel. Very unique when it comes to Zelda music, by the way, because we don't hear that a whole lot.
The cel-shaded Zeldas in general have always been their own little separate little section of the franchise.
Spirit Tracks, my beloved.
Ah, Spirit Tracks. That overworld music right there is the best overworld music.
Oh my gosh. I could talk about that all day. Spirit Tracks music. Oh, that's another title screen, title theme that we could talk about. Like that, oh, ja ba 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 ba. That motif lives rent free in my brain. I love that entire game and that soundtrack. Honestly, super underrated soundtrack. Almost all of those themes, the battle themes, the boss themes, the town themes, immaculate. And the overworld theme, of course.
It's fun to see the development and usage of music throughout the franchise from start to end. From the very start, you had four pieces of music, or five, I think. You had the overworld, you had two dungeon themes, and you had the opening and end credits, so six. You basically had six pieces.
Was there boss music as well?
No, there was no boss music in the original Zelda.
Oh, that's crazy.
You did not get boss music until Adventure of Link, but even then you had cave, palace, end palace, overworld, village, and that was it. Now, of course, there are reasons for that, but you see that development where you get to A Link to the Past, and things begin to develop a little bit further. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until Link's Awakening that every dungeon got their own specific theme music. It wasn't until, Wind Waker? Before every boss got their own music? And it just develops further and further as things begin to move and develop of, we are going to attach a specific theme and a specific idea to these things, which when you begin to see the similarities between bosses, oh, they reused this music here, or they lengthened or inverted whatever for this music in order to maybe save time. I don't know. This is a lot. The way video games tend to go, it's hard to be a lot more purposeful with your music than, say, a lot of my music theory information I've gotten from learning a little bit of how they design musicals. And the way they design musicals with leitmotifs all over the place and how they mess with them and use them and reuse them and invert them all over again.
Especially musicals, yeah.
But with that, it's a lot easier to track what they're trying to go with because there's the additional benefit of spoken lines, lyrics, and all these things to understand that. While with a video game, a lot of those meanings, you're not necessarily going to identify what they were going for, aside from, oh, it's cool that they did this.
Right. And a lot of those things could definitely just be, saving time and leave it at that. But also, my personal theory is that they have these themes that are attached to bosses specifically. So whenever we hear that, we're thinking, oh, this is boss time. We associate that theme with the situation at hand. But in order to tie that boss and the theme to the specific dungeon with its common motifs and common instrumentation, let's change the boss theme in this way to make it sort of fit this new area. And I think that's another compositional technique, is just how do you, what things can you do, add, take away, all that kind of stuff, to make this theme match what the people are seeing on the screen. And that's definitely something that Zelda, I think, takes after a lot. In video games in general.
Even, since you're talking about all these different ways to use things, switching out the instrument involved. You made me think of Groose's theme is dun, 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 which is... you understand, you identify it, and yet if you look at the soundtrack for Skyward Sword, Groose's theme is used like four or five different times. One of the times that they do it, they have to do is slow down the music a little bit, and I think they change the instrument for when Groose is being just a little bit overly lovesick for Zelda.
At the beginning of the game, yeah.
At the beginning, yeah. When he's getting all blushy and Zelda has her finger in his face, the music slows down, and I think that's like all that happens is that it slows down a little bit. And yet the emotion is immediately transmitted.
It's definitely because I do think it stays on trombone, but I think the difference is that whenever his actual main theme is playing, and I haven't listened to it in a long time. It's been like 3 years since I played Skyward Sword HD, but I believe whenever they play it, his theme straight up normal, it's played straight bom 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 bom. But whenever he gets that romantic, you know, blushy crushy kind of thing with Zelda, the trombone it glissandos. Wah 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 wah. So just that tiny stylistic change is enough to like completely shift the emotion. And Skyward Sword, I believe, has the first fully orchestrated soundtrack in the series.
Correct.
That's why it had this 25th anniversary soundtrack and all that kind of stuff. Amazing soundtrack. But because it was probably not because, but like one of the reasons why I was able to get away with that kind of technique was because it's live orchestrated and it's able to get more human imperfections in there, if you will. Not to say it's bad. Imperfections are natural across all musicians. It's what gives it that, you know, human and not robotic feel. And especially applies to like later games like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. All those human little imperfections throughout the music is what gives it that character. You can't get away with that with a musical program on your computer or anything.
Speaking of human implementation, super congrats to Zara for having a full-on composition album for people to take a look at and to listen to.
I'm going to take a look at that right now.
Awesome. It's amazing what people are willing and able to do with the talents that they have and some of the things that drives them in order to either develop or maintain the skills that they have. I have Zelda sheet music. It's sitting under my electric piano right now. I haven't pulled it out in a while, but if I needed to, I have several pieces that I could jump into immediately. And even if I'm just messing around with the keyboard, I usually end up throwing in Song of Storms, Song of Times, Kokiri Forest, just because they're really easy to throw into whatever it is I'm just messing with keys for.
Yeah.
And I'm no major improvisationalist. I have 5 years of rudimentary piano teaching under me. And I stopped because I hated practicing, so.
That's valid. I mean, practicing is hard. It's like do consistently and keep a regimen. School year just ended, but I had a few students that like we would have a bunch of free time, so they would just get to the piano and just play Song of Storms, or they would just play the Song of Time, and I'm like, dude, I am so proud of you, but get back to work. But I'm so proud of you, but get back to work.
Hello, everybody. This is Eden. You may or may not remember me. I was the producer of this very podcast for a few years, and now I'm back to contribute content like I did 10 to 15 years ago, and I'm here to discuss some Zelda music. Specifically, I'm here with a friend, Brendan. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Howdy. I am Brendan. I'm a music composer and, what do you know, Zelda fan. I've been making arrangements of Zelda music for, well, basically since I first touched the Wind Waker as a six-year-old. They weren't very good back then, but now they're passable. And
that's really cool.
I've really enjoyed learning different styles of music in the process of listening to new tracks in Zelda games. And that's why I'm interested in the topic today. Which is about... what is it about exactly?
Yes. So since I last did my last music segment about 12 to 13 years ago, Breath of the Wild came out, and even a sequel to that game with a similar musical style. The musical style of Breath of the Wild was very different from earlier games in that it was very minimalistic and ambient. And Brendan and I are going to talk today about whether we would prefer an ambient style or more of a classic prominent backing score, or even just, you know, what are the pros and cons of each one. I mean, I don't have a preference for either one, but we're going to talk about that whole topic. So to start off, why don't we go into, do you have a preference one way or another? I just said I don't really have a preference. Do you have a preference, Brendan?
Yeah, that's hard to say. If you ask me for all of my favorite tracks, right, only two of them are going to be from Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom. And the other, like, 30 are going to be from The Wind Waker, from Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. I have a little soft spot for A Link Between Worlds music and Skyward Sword. So I guess I would say I have a preference for the older music, but at the same time, it sort of gets into the whole trouble with trying to compare the ambient sounds of Breath of the Wild to the music before is that, yes, Breath of the Wild has less melodic tracks. It has a lot of melodic tracks. You go to any town, you fight any boss.
It does.
But most of the time, you will not be in those places. You'll be spending time just listening to, you know, the little piano plucks in the middle of Hyrule Field. And so you'd never say, that's my favorite track, unless you're really, really artsy-fartsy, I guess.
A music nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say that it's perfect for the setting. And so it becomes difficult to say that I prefer the older games' music because I think that the newer games' music is perfect for the newer games. And I do prefer Tears of the Kingdom over any other Zelda. I think it's my favorite. So I don't know.
That actually brings me to something that I've heard a lot of people say over the years since Breath of the Wild came out, which is that because the soundtrack is so minimalist, you don't really hear all that many melodies over time. You said that obviously there are melodies, but they sort of fall through the cracks because you spend so much time just in the field hearing those little piano riffs, that a lot of people think that the game does not really have any music, despite there being points where obviously it does.
Right.
So a lot of people tell me, you know, there was no memorable, there were no memorable songs in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Skyward Sword has iconic music like the Battle of the Goddess, and Ocarina of Time has almost every track is iconic. Breath of the Wild, because it really takes a step back and the music's not in your ears the whole time, people sort of tune it out. And
yeah,
I'm wondering, do you think that's a problem?
A problem that it's not memorable? I don't. It's a funny thing, because if we change the word from memorable to recognizable, I would disagree with anyone who says that Breath of the Wild's any less recognizable, right? I remember when Skyward Sword came out, one of the biggest complaints from people who also hated the motion controls, also hated the art direction or however, they also complained that the music wasn't memorable. And what that meant to them is they couldn't, like, just sing Groose's theme off the top of their heads, or they confused it with some other piece from earlier games. But if you ever heard Groose's theme, you could say within like 3 seconds, oh, I know what that is. I know exactly where that played. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And the same thing happens with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, including the tracks that aren't even melodic. You hear the Hyrule Day theme in Breath of the Wild. It's doo-doom, boom-bum.
Boom-boom.
You know that opening. You know the opening to the sky in Tears of the Kingdom. Just the horns playing the three notes, very airy, and then of course you have the melodic tracks like Hateno, and Kakariko, Kolgara is a fan favorite, and All of these pieces are certainly recognizable, even if maybe there's not... We're never going to top Ocarina of Time for the sheer number of singable tracks, because they cheated. You have like 10 or 12 that you play in the Ocarina all the time. So they cheat into being memorable by just being poppy and repeated often.
Well, that makes sense, yeah. Whereas we haven't had a game that centers around music actually for quite a while, and because this one takes it back so much that each track, except for all the non-minimalist tracks, most of them you don't hear very often. So, you know, the battle themes, you might, anytime you go back to a town, sure, you'll hear it, but there's a bunch of those, and you're only going to spend so much time in the town.
Yep.
So that's a good point, whereas in Ocarina of Time, you had the music as part of the game, as part of the game mechanics, so that kind of forced it to be memorable, which is an interesting point.
Or even Twilight Princess, The Wind Waker, you didn't have so many songs that you'd play on repeat, but the overworld having a theme, it just, look, you're going to play maybe 60 hours in those, just going from one place to another, so you're going to remember it.
Right, so start playing, you know, the Great Sea theme, people are going to know exactly what it is right away. Mm-hmm. If you play... maybe not the doo-doo-doo-doo, but anything after that where it's just like,
bing! Yeah.
People are going to go like, what is this?
Is that even part of the song, or is that supposed to be the sound of an animal running by me, you know?
That's something that contributes to that game.
That's the clever thing about it. If there's anything I like about sort of impressionism or the that style of music used in some... wild tracks, it's that instead of the melody driving you on your adventure and convincing you that you really are a hero on the open sea or in the twilight sky, you know, instead the game just sort of accepts however you do happen to be feeling as you're exploring the world and says, here's an idea. I would often feel just listening to little horns in the background, or I'm walking through the depths. I would feel, not that the music was telling me, like, I have to be scared or I have to be awesome, but just that whatever I happen to be doing, you know, fighting the monsters or figuring out how to climb from this island to the next island without falling over, that task had special meaning, musical touches on top of it. And so it was so ambiguous that it could mean whatever I happened to be doing at the time. That's really what they were going for, and I think they succeeded.
I admittedly am not all that familiar with the music of Tears of the Kingdom, because I played a lot of my game time in there was with the sound off, because I'd be like with other people or whatever. But
that's a tragedy.
I know it is, and I'm waiting for the official soundtrack to come out to remedy that. That I actually was not particularly familiar with the music of Breath of the Wild for similar reasons until I bought the soundtrack. After which I gained a massive appreciation for the music, because you get a sense that there not only is there music as opposed to, oh, that game has no music. No, there's music. There's 5 discs of music, if you count the DLC. And it's gorgeous. And they...
Yeah, the Champion's Ballad is a wonderful track on its own.
It really is. It's very beautiful. And you see that the way they approach the soundtrack, while... sure, you have these sort of ambient tracks, a lot of the way they approach different themes and motifs is very similar to how they used to do it beforehand. So, you know, each of the champions has their own theme, and in cutscenes that feature them, you'll hear that theme repeated over and over again. you know, there's four different, or actually, if you include the final boss, there's five different arrangements of the same boss theme, yeah, but with little different instrumentations. So they put a lot of thought into it, while also there's similarities to older soundtracks as well. And in fact, they arranged a lot of music from older games. If you're standing in the Temple of Time, you hear the Song of Time. It's just very slow, and it's played on a single piano.
I have like two minds about it. I have this warring opinion in me, where one part of me really, really, really loves how referential the newer games are. It didn't start with Breath of the Wild. You know, Zelda has always been using older tracks in new ways.
Absolutely.
In fact, you know, Ocarina of Time, people think Zelda's Lullaby comes from there, but it was really just her theme in Link to the Past. Same with Ganon's theme. But Hyrule Castle started in Link to the Past. And yet the ways that they were reused in, say, The Wind Waker or Breath of the Wild were really gorgeous. And so I love reference when it's done well. And there's all sorts of reference in Breath of the Wild. There's the Temple of Time hiding in there. The hero's theme shows up maybe 8 different times in various memories, or when you're riding your horse at night. In the epilogue, you get Zelda's Lullaby, snippets of it appear all the time. Kakariko Village, the one in Breath of the Wild, actually secretly has the old Kakariko Village playing in the background at times. And for all those references, I kind of don't like it. Because on one hand, when you don't get a reference where you're expecting it, you feel disappointed. I remember going to the Thunderhead Islands. I really, really wanted Song of Storms there. Or if not Song of Storms, I wanted that raining song from the beginning of Link to the Past.
Oh, that would have been a nice touch.
It's also in Four Swords Adventures, which I played the heck out of. So I remember that song really well. And so when they don't reference something, then you feel especially let down because you start expecting it everywhere. Right. But then at the same time, you keep hearing the hero's theme. You keep hearing the little da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we got so paranoid about it that there are people who believe that Rauru's song, which is just like 3 notes and ambient noise, they think that that is like a reference to the hero's theme because the 3 notes happen to be 1-5-1. And yet, it always sort of leaves me disappointed because I want more. Like, I want to hear the full dang theme. And, you know, I think about it and I'm like, wow, I haven't heard the full Legend of Zelda theme in a Zelda game since A Link Between Worlds, where it's the overworld song. And before that, I don't know, Minish Cap? it's pretty much only been in the handheld games since the 90s. Because the 3D games always try to distinguish themselves with their own identities, and so they're very reserved with their references, and almost too reserved and sort of frustrated.
That's an interesting perspective, because I think that playing through the games, especially, you know, with the sound off, I didn't really find myself expecting much from the music, whereas once I started listening through the soundtracks, I started noticing these little touches, I started becoming, I wouldn't go as far as to say like paranoid or obsessive, but I started putting a little bit too much attention into, oh, is this a reference to this piece of music? Is this a reference to this piece of music? And I see other people doing that too.
It's really cool when it's true, but it's like any Zelda theories, they get weird fast.
They do, and it takes away from the appreciation of, you know, the new stuff. Because, I mean, I remember listening, once I'd heard the soundtrack a few times, listening for, you know, is the Hitano, is that Hitino town, Hitino village, the village, I think, whether that theme incorporates any other themes like from some other town or village in the series. I don't think it does, but it kind of sounds like it could have, which is a testament to how appropriately it was composed. But
and also because Tarrytown, I sort of confuse it with Hitano because it Tarrytown is an amalgamation all the other town melodies. So then I forget which one is the reference and which one is the original.
Yeah. I mean, on the soundtrack, they actually have it. It's the longest track on the entire soundtrack because they have it.
Yes.
Yeah. They do it incrementally, like you do when you're recruiting the sons to build branches there. And you start to hear, wait, there's this reference to this other town in here, but at the same time you're like, wow, this fits really, really well, so maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is actually part of the original music.
That's the cool thing about fitting, is that, going back to the original question, it's hard to say that you prefer the really prominent melodies over the ambient style or the piano heavy style of Breath of the Wild and Tears, because they fit very well. And yet, to sort of end off the discussion, Dragon Roost Island, I think, is a microcosm. It's a symbol of the whole discussion of the values of the new style versus the old style. Because Dragon Roost Island was a wonderful track in Wind Waker.
Iconic, it's even.
Almost everyone's favorite from the whole game, maybe. And it's also pretty much everyone's favorite in Breath of the Wild. And also, it's pretty much everyone's favorite in Tears of the Kingdom. In sort of three different contexts that it's being used. And the one is very classical, standard. The second is very piano heavy. It's melodic, but it's sort of just sort of in the air, meant to be more impressionistic in its style. And then the third is as part of a boss theme, as more of a reference.
Right.
And in all three cases, Dragon Roost Island is freaking awesome. And so that's all I can say about Zelda music, is it's freaking awesome.
It is. I guess we've determined it really depends on the game itself, whether you want a bombastic theme or bombastic soundtrack like you have in Skyward Sword, where it was all about the big orchestra and playing these grand pieces, versus boom, 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 and then silence for like 10 mm-hmm. seconds, because that really works.
A random number of seconds, actually.
That's true. Yeah, that's interesting, because when you listen to it on the soundtrack, it's obviously not random. It's the same every time.
Yeah.
But you're right. When you're playing the game, it's random, and that's just so cool. That was a delightful discussion. Thank you for joining me today, Brendan. If people want to hear some of your music, maybe, where could they find that? Is it possible to find it?
It is not currently possible.
That's disappointing.
I had published some music as a little teenager, but it is not quality to me anymore. Okay. So I'm currently producing more. I have a 3-hour-long arrangement of Zelda music going through release date chronology. Because trying to follow the timeline chronology wouldn't quite work. There's a whole split.
Fair enough.
And it's wonderful. I hope someday to be able to get it in high enough quality that I can release the whole thing out. It would be on YouTube, I imagine.
This makes sense. What's your YouTube channel? Do you have one yet?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, are you on social media that you want to give
out? Am I on social media? I am certainly on Zelda Universe.
What's your username?
Logical Pencils.
Logical Pencils?
Yeah. Logical Pencils.
I know you because I found you on there. We've been in contact for a while.
Yep.
I'm Eden Biskin. You might remember me. I am also not on social media. but I am also very much on the Zelda Universe forums. My username is Eslo Spirit. I am also pretty active on the Zelda Universe Discord, which you should join. I guess that's a wrap, and I'll see y'all again soon.
Is there a difference between a reference and a leitmotif?
I would say just context, really. There could be a reference, but if it's not in a any... For example, there is in the Tears of the Kingdom, the big trailer, like the one... Like we got all the stuff right before in the April trailer last year. There was a bit in the intro portion of the trailer where there was a snippet of music that sounded like the Spirit tracks. Bum 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 bum. So I saw a few people on the internet being like, "Oh my gosh, Spirit tracks reference," but that was most likely just a coincidence, because the context, there's no reason to reference Spirit Tracks. There's no connection to Spirit Tracks. There's no, like, it doesn't really make sense to reference Spirit Tracks there. So you could see it as reference, you could see it as leitmotif, but due to the context, it doesn't really make sense for that to be the case. If we were to hear any of the Dragon Roost, Rito Village, Kolgara things outside of those specific contexts, then that wouldn't really be a motif. It would just be a out-of-context reference, in my opinion. Some might disagree. On a surface level, I don't think there really is a difference. Because any reference, musically, if you're referencing a theme, it's going to be a reference to a motif. But yeah, I think it just depends on the context, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is where we get back to comparing video game music, which tends to be, by its very nature, choppy. Because you generally are only hearing snippets of it at a time versus mm-hmm. a traditional classical piece of music, a musical, something like that, where the stories that are being told through the music are a lot more purposeful and they have a defined beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
So that if you're revisiting a theme, then you are telling a specific story with that theme, while you may run into that theme or half of that theme, or maybe you got to the beginning of the theme before you killed the boss, and then it kind of it stops.
And that's one of the challenges with, I think, game composition in general, is that you don't know the pace of the player. You can't predict the pace of the player. So you have to make these loops, which they are loops, unless it's like a cutscene song, it's going to be a continuous loop. So you have to just make sure that you're able to convey everything you want to and everything that you need to within that loop, no matter how long it is, because you cannot predict how long or how short a player takes to kill a boss, for example. With recurring themes in the Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom games, specifically the main Zelda theme, and this is something that I've been thinking about for a year now, after pondering and going back through Breath of the Wild, we really didn't hear the main Zelda theme that much at all, really. Mm-mm. If at all. Jump, bum, ba-da-da-ba-dum.
No, the closest thing... Breath of the Wild. I said the closest thing I think we got was the Master Sword theme. When you pull the Master Sword out. That's the closest you get, but that's because the Master Sword has its own motif.
Right. But then in Tears of the Kingdom, because we didn't hear and like the main Zelda theme at all, basically at all in Breath of the Wild, and rarely throughout Tears of the Kingdom, whenever we do hear it in Tears of the Kingdom, it is such a powerful moment. Because of the lack of the main theme in the previous game, as well as the game we just played, whenever we hear it in those small moments, it's so much more powerful. So recurring themes, some people would see it as sort of like a crutch, like you're relying on nostalgia. But if used properly, which in this case I do think Tears of the Kingdom does it immaculately so, you're able to really deliver powerful beats, powerful story moments.
When you talk about using those motifs as a crutch, they had mentioned, ah, we had this area full of thunderstorms. Why didn't they play the Song of Storms? You mentioned that a motif really only makes sense if the setting calls for it. And there's more to the Song of Storms than just, ah, we made it rain. There's right. a bumpiness and a happiness to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The Thunderhead Islands don't call for that.
Right.
You're still in the midst of exploring a place that is obviously kind of apt to kill you and anybody who doesn't belong, as it were. If you have been following the main plot, you're trying to find a sage that is somehow missing from everything. So there's an air of mystery about it. It doesn't fit the theme of what the Song of Storms would actually do. If we needed to, like, produce rain for a desert parched, like a parched land somewhere, that would be a fitting spot, I think, for the Song of Storms.
Right, definitely.
There's a little bit more of a relief and a little bit more whimsy to the right. song.
It's the same thing, like, Saria song. We associate that with the Lost Woods, obviously. And then it's made a reappearance, I think, throughout the series. It's been in Majora's Mask with the Woods of Mystery. Probably just because it's, you know, limited resources.
Yeah.
But I think that's also the exact reason you brought up. I think that's the reason why we don't hear it in Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom with the actual Lost Woods in those two games. Is because it's tied to Saria. That's Saria's song. It's only in the Lost Woods in Ocarina of Time because she's the one playing it. It's like kind of diegetic in a way. Diegetic music is music that is heard in world by the characters, but also you, the listener. Right, so in the windmill hut in Ocarina of Time, the windmill guy playing the music box, the Song of Storms, that's diegetic because he's playing the music and Link is hearing the music, but also it's the music for the actual setting, for the player, the listener.
Ganondorf playing the organ as you're going up the tower.
Exactly, that's diegetic music. Non-diegetic music would be literally anything else. Only you can hear it, the characters in the world aren't hearing it.
Wait, you're telling me that Link doesn't go around with a full orchestra at his back everywhere he goes?
Man, I wish real life had that.
No kidding.
Real life had a soundtrack. I don't have to put headphones in. I just have an outward just music playing for me. That'd be amazing.
Dance numbers, the whole works.
Yeah, it'd just be great. So, with that context, it doesn't really make sense for Saria's song to be playing in Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, because it's her song. Now, again, if we had to like call upon the ancient forest sage of time long since past and we heard her theme play, that'd be great. That'd be amazing. I would celebrate. But, you know, and it'd be a good reference, I guess. But it's not really, it doesn't really fit the context, right?
The overall purpose of music as a whole, and in this case we're talking Zelda video game music, is to provide an atmosphere for whatever is going on. It heightens your emotions because it is tuning in to that part of the human composition, pun not intended, but now fully intended. Always intend your puns.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to connect with an emotional level to whatever it is that you are currently doing. And so with Zelda, regardless of what game that it is, you want to be able to pull that off. For the most part, Zelda is epic adventure. And so epic adventure needs to be the emotion that you're feeling as you're traveling the world, going through a dungeon, whatever that happens to be. And so that's why most of the most powerful, recognizable music from Zelda has that epic feel to it. When you get to something that is supposed to be more ambient, like Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, as we're talking about, yes, there is music, but it's downplayed because the emotion of what you are doing is not epic adventure. Even though technically you are, the theme of Breath of the Wild for both you as a player and for Zelda, if we want to get to the actual story part of Breath of the Wild, is self-discovery. And there is an epic layer to that, but it is much more of a introspective kind of feeling to it. And so the powerful moments only come in the powerful moments of conflict that you see in the game. The rest of it is contemplative self-reflection.
Yep. And especially for Breath of the Wild in that case, because that's, you know, Link's gathering his memories. I cannot stand, especially as a music guy, especially as a Zelda guy, especially as a Zelda music guy, I cannot stand when people say these games have no music. Like, obviously you're playing with the volume off, because the music is such a big part of this game experience that to say it doesn't have any music, or memorable music, or
recognizable,
that was the one, started with an R. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, obviously the overworld, it's intentionally sparse. We understand that. You and I understand that. But like Hateno Village, Kakariko, Rito, Zora's Domain, all of these things. I'm a big fan of the paragliding minigame music.
Yes, I remember that.
I'm a very big fan of that music. Like, there's so many of these things that stick out. And if you just take a minute to just listen, I think at least one of them will stick with you. Moving on to Tears of the Kingdom, all those things still exist. Plus, all these boss themes and dungeon themes, like the dungeon themes themselves, are filled with a bunch of unique composition, as well as references to the champions from the previous game. So many things, and then the overworld is even more fleshed out with saxophones and woodwinds for the sky islands, and gross, damp percussion for the depths, and it's all meant to just symbolize the progression of Hyrule, so there's even more of it now. And I love that so much.
The challenge of saying what game has the most recognizable whatever music, there is a level of nostalgia bias that we have when it comes to music 100%. Just in general. When you're listening to music that came from the 80s or the 70s or the 90s or whatever, 20, 30 years ago, you're only listening to the music that has withstood the test of time. You're not listening to the music that was played by everybody else. There was tons of music back then, and you're not listening to it because it was mediocre at best. And that's that's the way that it goes. Take a look at a soundtrack listing for, let's say, Wind Waker. There's a lot of tracks in Wind Waker, and we only talk about 8 of them?
What, Dragon Roost? Maybe Outset Island?
Like, half a dozen are the iconic, I'll put Mulgara. Those in quotation marks, pieces that we all think about. Like, oh my gosh, Wind Waker has such amazing music, and it does. But you're not thinking of every single track that is in Wind Waker. Same thing with pretty much every game. There are tracks that you're not thinking of. And you have to be reminded, oh yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah.
And it only gets more and more so because we now have like 5 discs to get a game soundtrack out. It hasn't changed. There's just more music to try and remember.
Right.
So good luck with that. Well, Caden, thank you so much for spending this time with me, with us.
Of course.
And all of you, and all of you, thank you so much for hanging out with us. This music is wonderful. We enjoy it so much. And we're grateful for this chance to be able to nerd out a little bit about it. And we hope that this gives you a little additional appreciation for the music for the Zelda franchise, and that you will continue to listen and enjoy, whether or not you are playing as well. Thank you so much for being a part of our Zelda Universe podcast, and we will see you all. Oh, actually, you're Caden. I'm Connor.
Oh, yeah.
Say that one more time.
I'm Caden. He's Connor.
And we'll see you next time.